Thank you. The five words I have are view, syzygy, Vesuvian, frame, and gravity. I had to look up syzygy. Apparently, it's the alignment of three celestial bodies. So I replaced that with the heart, mind, and soul in this poem. It's called A Choice. The gravity of his crime unsettled his brain. He longed to be somewhere else, at the races, or stoic faced at the poker table. Nothing, he thought, could be worse than his present choice. Hide or come clean, stay or disappear. All his life, imbued with a sense of uplifting achievement, exams, life, job, spirits high on a cloud of secure and cozy joy. And now, a sudden series of Vesuvian tremors shaking his terrified frame, his mind lost in a dark syzygy as heart eclipses soul, and the horse gone astray, and the torment of all bets off. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and well done. And next up we have, I think, did you come down from Durban as well?
Yes, I did.
Edna Reynolds, please.
This poem's called Gypsy Girl. Oh, sorry, I had to print it out. I have a problem with my eyes tonight, so I had to write it up here. Gypsy Girl. How much, she asks, I place a value on the plaster cast Aphrodite, the bronze inlay, once aureate, now dulled to a rust-coloured orange. Her hand crosses mine with coins. I'll be back, she says, more sighs than whispers, and I wonder at what those words portend, as she raises a hand to her smiling lips and extends an aeolian kiss.
Thank you, Edna, and well done. And next, could we call on Colm Scully?
Sam, I had to print it open 14 or the words were elliptic, ice, count, exit, and vortex. Just checked it out with Molly. Life on Mars. Your pea green body rubs against me. You were still asleep as I watched sunrise over Albemons. I heard yesterday that you would leave me for a human girl half your years. The dome of the sun clips the horizon, burning its red rim. I hear you mumble in your sleep. I remember I asked, what do you wish for? But your elliptic visions led you astray. One of their short summers was all it took. Now I feel guilty, helping you learn their barbarous words. Or was it the loss of tenderness in my touch? Was I the first to stop locking noses before you'd leave for evening shift on the ice caps? I look for a way to recapture that alien heart, to refire our dying love. A silver bead of sweat runs down your face. I want to wipe it dry, to trace my palm across the creases of your neck, fold my fingers through the vortex of your gland. But my skin has grown warm, and it's time to get dressed. I count the moon and watch the stars fading. It glitters in the distance. Sometimes I wonder, is that planet cursed? Tell me something about Earth, I'd say. You would hate the shorter days, you replied. The dry white whispers faded to nothing. I watched the night exit. Love can die anywhere.
Thank you, Colm, and congratulations. And now we've come to the highly commended poems from the competition. There were two. And Janet Leese, who was one of the highly commended poets, was meant to make it here today, but couldn't. She had a family emergency. So one of the judges from the, my co-judge from the competition, Cal Doyle, is going to come up and say a few words and read the poem.
Paul asked me to say a few words, and I didn't prepare anything, so the judging process was really good in terms of receiving so many great poems from a wide array of poets everywhere, and I think me and Paul settled it over a pint and a couple of cigarettes. And this is Janet Leigh's poem, Boy of 6,000 Parts, which is amazing. He never lay against a mother's spine, dreaming in the slipstream of a mother tongue, the offspring of astounding horologic flair. He has never used the word hello or felt the bass note of betrayal in the choir of human hearts. He was made to automate the passions. He works alone, pale as a lily, in round-the-clock twilight, finger and thumb fused to a quill, forming decorous texts that rarely change, except defeat the great and the good. Most recently, a dignitary from France, who, without knowing why, wept at the sight of the little writer's naked metal spine.
Thank you, Kella. And we have with us the other highly commended poem from Alfred McGlinchey. Here she is.
Thank you so much, Paul and Cam. I was inspired by Michael Quain, the sculptor, our local sculptor. I heard a story when he was very young, when he was about 9, he stayed with his grandmother, and she lived somewhere near a bog, and he happened to witness a donkey drowning in a bog hole. And it was absolutely harrowing, you know, but he noticed all the sinews and muscles of this donkey as it was trying to get out of the bog hole. And ever since then, all the sculptures that he ever creates, and I'm sure you've seen them around, you know, even though usually around about horses, usually with humans as well, and you can really sense this sort of intense motion and muscle. And anyway, that inspired this poem. This is called Frozen Moments, so imagine a landscape of sculpture. Lake ice marked by shards of lichen leftovers, as though drawn by the quill of a paleontologist. Near the shoreline, silt, xylophones over shale and pebble, pillowing calibrated fossils. Pareidolia possibilities of the flotsam, a skull tumultuous in its stone lethargy, tells the lore of the land. A fresh wind lopes up the hill, its visible list across as green swathe, suggesting a couple caught in willow cells. Hallucinations create their own inflections. Lime-washed spiraling clouds, atolls that curl violet, yellow, blue into a legerdemain sky, bright as a toppling dollar's light. A lone pilot plays dare in the palace sky, larks about, slows the gleaming filament to a standstill. He eyes the arc of the sun at the exact moment before its plummet, just like the one that follows this felicitous life.
Thank you, Alfred, and congratulations.